technically broken. On the fundamental side, precious metals are holding up in real terms. Gold has been outperforming the stock market. It's the gold to S&P 500 ratio is trending up. So that's a good sign.
Welcome to In It to Win It. This is Steve Barton, and thank you for tuning in. We have our resident gold expert, Jordan Rayburn. Jordan, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Let's see. Gold is sitting down around 1700. Silver is down around 1830. What are your thoughts here? The CPI is at 9.1. What are you thinking?
Well, precious metals are obviously really oversold. I mean, they've been suffering because the market expects significant tightening from the Federal Reserve. And I mean, there has been a little bit of that to some degree. If you look at real interest rates, like the real tips yields, which is kind of a market indicator of real interest rates, those up until, you know, let's say the last 3 or 4 weeks, those were rising pretty aggressively and gold was holding up okay. And same thing in the face of the dollar. But I think in the last month or so, there's been this expectation that the Fed is going to continue to hike and hike aggressively. And so I think that's, and you're starting to see, you have seen in the last month or so, precious metals really crack. And so they're really getting liquidated based on this concern that if there's aggressive tightening in the market. And the Fed has done some hiking. They're probably going to hike 100 basis points in a couple weeks. The dollar's shooting up quite a bit. That's also a form of tightening. So these things are negative for precious metals. And I went back and I studied, some significant bear markets in stocks. And in several of them, precious metals sold off at the beginning and they didn't bottom and turn around until the Fed started cutting rates. And in some cases, that's when the two diverge. If you have a somewhat longer bear market in stocks, that's when they can diverge. So in past cycles, precious metals have bottomed around the time of, I don't have the data in front of me, but they bottomed around the time of the last rate hike. So I think that's what it comes down to. Precious metals are technically broken. On the fundamental side, precious metals are holding up in real terms. Gold has been outperforming the stock market. It's the gold to S&P 500 ratio is trending up. So that's a good sign. Gold against foreign currencies is pretty close to its all-time high. I mean, that's a good sign, but the dollar is really strong. That's causing problems. And the Federal Reserve wants to continue to tighten. The market does think they're going to be able to tighten until yesterday. It was until December. So they want to tighten aggressively immediately because they can see that on the back of these hikes and with given the way the economy is trending, that they're going to be forced into cutting rates. At least that's what the market is saying. So with respect to precious metals, that's what it comes down to. How many more hikes is the Fed going to do? When are they going to stop? Because when they stop and when they cut rates, that's when you're going to see a huge turn in precious metals. But, even though that based on market expectations, that's starting to move closer and closer to where we are. I want to say 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, the market was expecting one hike next year. Now the market has shifted and is expecting almost 4 rate cuts next year. So if the economic data and the way the markets perform, credit markets and all of those things, if that continues to reflect that the economy is in recession or heading into a recession or is getting worse, then the expectations of the Fed stopping and cutting, that's going to get pulled closer to where we are. I mean, that's how it works. And so that's with respect to precious metals, that's really what that's really the fundamental thing that they're waiting for, in my opinion. When that gets closer and when the market starts to sniff out, okay, you know, July, you know, this is going to be the last rate hike, or September is going to be the last hike. When the precious metals really start to sniff that out, that's when they're going to bottom and turn up aggressively, in my opinion. And so we may need to see, something break, and just, you know, a lot more bad news coming in the economy, because the Fed really wants to be tough. But as other people have said, I mean, they really, given the amount of debt that's out there and how linked everything is globally, they're not going to be able to hike rates to where they should be, which should be 4 or 5% or even 6%. I mean, that's where they should be. There's too much debt in the system, but you can see, I mean, rates are not even, we're not even at 2% yet. And, you know, the stock market's declined 25%. We're probably in recession already. It looks like it's going to get worse. So, I mean, they can't, you know, unless they want to cause a recession that turns into a depression, they're not going to hike rates to 4%. But we'll see. I mean, it unfortunately, it all comes back to the Fed and their policy and when they're going to stop hiking for precious metals. Long story short, that's what it is.
Yeah, what I'm learning about the precious metals market is it's really tied to the bond market and I guess Fed policy. And so is the basic logic behind this that if interest rates are higher, then people can move their money into bonds and get some kind of return? Is that kind of the premise?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in a new, situation here for the economy with inflation being so high. But if you look back in the 70s, they actually went up with rising inflation. And it's interesting because they, you know, we had rising inflation, but we didn't have a recession, at least not yet. I mean, it probably started in the first quarter, but so that was in the 70s when the economy was doing poorly and the inflation was really impacting the economy. That's when precious metals were performing best. And, you know, now precious metals have been getting hit with the stock market, with inflation so high, but eventually, you know, sooner rather than later, that's going to turn in precious metals' favor. But with respect to Fed policy, I mean, it was one or two cycles in the 70s where precious metals, they went up with the rising inflation, then they went down when the Fed cut rates. So we're not quite at that point yet. We're, with respect to Fed policy and how precious metals have performed, we're still in the same situation we've been in the last 20 or 30 years. And it also happened at other points where precious metals bottomed around the time the Fed stopped hiking. Then when they cut, they did really well. I mean, if you look back, precious metals bottomed couple months before their last rate hike in 2018. Then when they cut rates in June 2019, you know, that caused a breakout in precious metals. If we go back to when they cut rates at the beginning of 2001, gold stocks had bottomed a couple months before that. Gold finished its double bottom a couple months after that. And then even in 2007, at the beginning of the financial crisis, the Fed cut rates, and then that caused gold to break out above 700 again and run all the way up to 1,000. So there's a lot of history with the Fed shifting policy to easier policy to that benefiting precious metals. And yes, I mean, it does have something to do with, lower yields make gold more attractive.
Yeah, because if you could put your money into something and get 3% as opposed to zero, then you're going to put it in 3%. But once that comes down, then gold looks a little more attractive.
Correct.
Okay. Now, when the Fed stops hiking rates, that's kind of what we're looking for in this sector. You believe this will happen in about a month or so? What are your thoughts?
I think it really depends. I mean, we have we still have, I think, about 60 days until the September meeting. Gun to my head, I don't think they're going to be able to hike after September. So in my opinion, it'll either be July or September is the last one. I know some people think July will be the last one. We'll see how fast the data turns. I mean, if the economic data gets really bad and the inflation data gets better, so if we see commodities continue to decline, if we see oil really dump below 95 and have a significant technical breakdown, these are all things that will help the inflation picture. But we need, you know, we might need to see the dollar go up another couple more points and just more pain and something breaking. I mean, if that happens in the next 60 days, the Fed, you know, July may end up being the last hike, but maybe, I mean, if they're able to hike in September, I would think that's definitely going to be the last one. I don't see how they're going to be able to hike after that. I mean, the market as of yesterday was, the market was basically pricing in that the Fed funds rate would peak in December. It wasn't quite pricing in a rate hike in December. So it was fully, it had fully priced in July, September, and November hikes in those months. But there was even one contract was showing a 60% chance that they would stop in November. So what happened after this really hot inflation data is everything got pulled forward. The Fed funds futures market, everything got pulled forward. So instead of the market saying, you know, we think there's going to be a 75 point hike in the next couple of weeks, we think there's going to be 100, but we think that you're going to stop sooner and you're going to be cutting rates sooner than, okay, you know, than we thought the last week or two. So that's what's interesting. So the 100 sounds, it's kind of deceptive because the thinking is, oh, they're going to get, you know, inflation's really high and they're going to be really tough now, even tougher than before. But that's really not the case. It's more of a situation where the economy is probably going into recession if it's not already in one. We need to get these rate hikes. You know, we need to get some big hikes out fast because we're not going to be able to do this for more than a couple more meetings.
And then after that, they can lower it and bring it back down.
Yes. And from 1966 to 1989, I counted there were six times where they went from, they did a hike, but then they did a cut and only 1 to 2 months after. So then people are saying, oh, well, they might pause for, you know, 3 or 4 months, or they'll, you know, they'll stop and they'll just wait a couple meetings. But I mean, this is a bad stagflationary situation. And again, looking at that period of 66 to 89, they started cutting rates multiple times when inflation was really high. And, you know, that doesn't, you might think, well, that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, when you're in a recession, in a nasty recession, it's going to bring down inflation. And all these leading indicators of inflation, like the oil price, commodity prices at large, in the bond market, break-evens, which are a measure of inflation expectations, break-evens have really been plummeting in the last couple months. One of the break-evens has plummeted is basically so fast that there's been only two other times it's done so that fast, which was during 2008 and then during COVID. So, I mean, the speed of the decline in commodity prices and break-evens, which are basically inflation expectations, I mean, it's reflecting. I mean, that's, when you compare that to COVID in 2008, I mean, that's a pretty serious situation. And so in 2008, you know, inflation was 5 or 6%, I think early in the summer or late in the spring. You know, oil was the last thing to peak. I think it peaked in June or maybe even July. But after that, everything was just selling off aggressively. And then the Fed took rates down really quickly to zero in September. So yeah, the rate of inflation, again, it was 5 or 6% a couple months or several months before they ended up, you know, cutting rates to zero. So, you know, the Fed is definitely watching these indicate all these indicators that are telling us inflation is going to come down significantly. If not in the next month or two, definitely after that. I mean, the CPI, that's backward looking data. And the other thing with the CPI is most of that is driven by food and energy. If we look at oil, you know, gasoline has come down, gasoline futures, not the gasoline prices yet, but gasoline futures have come down. Oil's coming down aggressively. So these things will feed into the economy and gasoline prices for consumers in the next couple months. But the question with inflation is this going to come down to 2 or 3%, or is it going to come down to 4 or 5%? So that's really the issue over the next, let's say 6 to 9 months or so. But the Fed, they know that inflation is going to be coming down, but it's still, I mean, it's an issue of, you know, how much worse does the data get in the next 60 days? I mean, is there something really significant that breaks, like a bank or something else?
Some kind of black swan that we can't even predict.
Yeah, I mean, because when they hike rates and they tighten policy, you know, something significant breaks eventually. And so you need something like that to happen to push the Fed to stop hiking rates. So, but yeah, long story short, I mean, it's just a guess, but I would say, you know, I'm leaning towards, I think July is going to be the last one, but they're, you know, I don't see how they're going to be able to hike past September. I mean, November, that's another 4 months from where we are. I don't see it with the way the data is trending.
Okay. Looking at the gold chart, we've pretty much hit 1700. We might've gotten below that just a little bit. I can't quite tell by this graph, but that I'm looking at, but, our next level of resistance, as I see it, is somewhere around 1680. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, I think you mean support.
I'm sorry, support is around 16.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, 1675, 1680, that area. Yeah, I mean, the gold stocks they're completely bombed out. But gold, looking at various sentiment indicators, there's more room that gold could decline. So I'm a little worried about it technically. You know, if gold were to fall below 1675, you know, you'd probably, I think there's some support at 1600. I mean, the 50% retracement is 1575. I'm not necessarily predicting it's going to go there, but we'll have to see, where, you know, where the market is, you know, what we'll have to weigh, you know, the Fed expectations with gold, you know, testing 1675, 1680, which it's probably going to test there. And, you know, we'll have to, if the Fed is able to hike in September, then it would make sense that we probably have a bottom, maybe around the end of August, you know, maybe the first week of September. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. So if the Fed can hike in September, that does open up the window for gold to decline below 1675, potentially. But just, yeah, looking at the sentiment indicators, they're definitely contrary bullish, but they're not, really at an extreme level. And so that's what I want to see. And I think it's going to take a couple more weeks of weakness in the market to bring these, you know, to clean out some more speculators and to bring some of these indicators to really extreme levels where you can look at those and say, okay, that aligns with what we've seen at past bottoms. So that's one thing that worries me. I mean, the stocks are already bombed out, but gold is not quite as bombed out. And so that's a little worrisome. So we'll see. I mean, if it's able to hold above 1675 on a monthly basis, you know, that would be really, really encouraging. But again, at this point, we can't rule out a move below that 1675 support.
Okay. And what silver's at 1830-ish. What's the next level of support for silver? Because it's probably likely going to follow gold if it goes down. Are you thinking, it looks like 17 to me, 1750, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good amount of support around in the mid to upper 18s, and I know it's below that now. I'm not, at this point, I'm not exactly sure where the next significant support level is. I mean, silver is really volatile. So, you know, looking at it, I would say maybe in the 16s or the 17s. So, yeah, I mean, if gold has some more downside, that means silver has some more downside as well. And so silver is pretty, you know, the chart doesn't look good. But if we look at a lot of lows in silver, like 2008, the end of 2015, 2020, the COVID low, I mean, silver can, it can definitely have these spike lows where it comes down below a certain support level, and then it just V rebounds when everything goes the other way. But yeah, I would, the gold silver ratio is still trending in favor of gold. So, I mean, it's possible silver could drop to 17 or 16 even.
Okay. Yeah. I see the gold silver ratio right now is at 93, which is the highest I've experienced it since I found out about this sector. Very interesting. This is, cool. Well, listeners can check out your website, thedailygold.com. I am a part of your newsletter, and it is a lot of fun. Every week you come out with an update, and it's not just the precious metals. You do deep dives into bonds and Fed policy and yield curve inversion and all that stuff. So it really gives you a good macro view of what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very interesting time. I mean, we're setting up here over the next couple months to make a significant bottom in precious metals. But people who've been following, they can understand the sentiment when you approach those points, how the sentiment aligns with market bottoms, which is people who are involved are extremely frustrated and questioning why they ever got involved in the first place. But that, you know, that tends to align with a major sector bottom. So I think, I think we are setting up for something really significant as far as a turn higher in the next couple months.
The neat thing about this is when you understand the macro environment, I'm actually getting excited that it's going lower because I get to get them for cheaper. I think this is going to be a lot of fun in the coming years. But Jordan, thank you. Thank you for coming on. Please like and subscribe. We're almost to 1,000 subscribers, and we will talk to you next time. Jordan, you have a good rest of the day, sir.
Thank you so much, Steve.